So good to meet you all here this morning in the house of God in worship and praise. I also want to extend welcome to Dr. Tan Chong Jing and Dr. Tan and all the police force attending our worship this morning together, family members. Welcome to DUMC. So good to have you with us all really joining this worship celebration. So to extend welcome to Bishop Joshua Kong as well. And also my special guests, okay, Dr. Lu Chu Huat and Dr. Ting, okay, Lu. Dr. Lu Chu Huat was actually Chief Police Officer Penang and Perlis did a fantastic job there. Okay, so welcome. Including YB Hannah, you as well. Welcome to join us the worship celebration as our guest. Okay, and it's just give that wonderful hand, will you? Okay, that's great. Okay, talking about that. All right, what happens is that Dr. Tan was telling me that two Sundays when I preached in FGAK, he was there. My goodness, I'm in trouble. You come here again, okay, to check on me, to make sure I'm okay. All right, okay. But it is just so good to be in the house of God, in a worship of God together. Listen, what a delight, what a joy. Listen. And so friends, you know what? I want to dive right into our subject. I want to talk about together there is built a great nation again, all God's people say. And so it's so, so important for all of us, okay? And so therefore, I want to take a passage of scripture, right, to work through together with all of us in this regard here. One of the best persons who have served at the top civil service of a nation and under four kings is a person by the name of Daniel. There's no better person actually to talk about in civil service, in serving the nation, as well as a person like Daniel like this. And so therefore, friends, we're going to read from Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 to 10. And could I ask you to stand with me in honor of God's word? It's okay to see, to read aloud in our strongest, most robust voices this morning together, okay? Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 to 10, together. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them, so the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, this man said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and said, "O King Darius, live forever." The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room, where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Our Father, we ask, O God, that you will take your word and speak to us by the power of the Spirit and draw us all in response. Father, I pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Would you take our seats? In spite of the fact that Malaysia has lost a few runs, Malaysia as it has gone a few steps backwards, as it were, okay? How many of us still think that there is hope in Malaysia and great hope in Malaysia? Can I see your hands? How many of us? Okay, can I see your hands? Fantastic, wonderful. How many of us think there is no hope for Malaysia? Now, don't put up your hands, okay? All right? But friends, you know what? I believe there's hope and great hope for Malaysia. Okay, and I believe that's the reason why God sent your police people, all right, to come together to share and begin to grapple with some of the issues about how we can build up Malaysia to be great again in a one. This is a great nation, amen, isn't it? And it's important to recognize, to be grateful and thankful about this wonderful nation. Just this morning, I had breakfast with a family from overseas, and we had a great time together, okay? And the man of the house said to me, "Pastor Daniel, Malaysia is an amazing country. So many good things here in this land, okay? The food is good, the infrastructure is good, everything is good, including the people are good," and all the good people say, amen, isn't it? And that's what it is for all of us. So many amazing things that we don't realize. We should give thanks and be grateful to God. Many times when Malaysians open their mouth, they talk about all the bad things about Malaysia. Okay, so to your neighbor, I'm not talking about you. Oh, he's not talking about you. Many times we grumble and complain Malaysia, but don't how to give thanks for the good things in this land, amazing land that God has really given to us. And I've been asked many times, Pastor, which country you like the best? Because I've spoken in more than 40 countries in all six continents. I say, you know what? I cannot wait to come back to Malaysia. This amazing, amazing country. Okay, God has really blessed us with in a wonderful manner. And therefore, friends, you know, whilst we recognize that we have really gone back a few notches, as it were, okay, in this land of Malaysia because of all that is not right, what can we do together to rebuild our nation all over again? What is needed building a great nation all over again? Very simple thing. Robert, the life of Daniel here, friends, the first thing, four C's involved. The first C is a whole area of character, all right? Character involved in our life as to who we are and what we are. And so verse 4, chapter 6 of Daniel, where it says like this to us. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs. But they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and not corrupt and negligent. He was trustworthy, absolutely dependable, absolutely reliable in all areas of his life as a person. And that's critical and crucial for all of us, isn't it? Because if you're a person who continues to be a person of integrity, a person who is no-nonsense kind, who will not play around, fool around all kinds of things, friends, such a person, friends, can stand tall, can stand high in society, and can be proud of the fact that you have not exchanged your character for cash. Because if you exchange your character for cash, cash minus character equals catastrophe, equals disaster. And that's how some people have shipwrecked their lives, tragically. And when that takes place, as we all know, we find even family members, okay, would be ashamed of that person who has compromised his character for cash or whatever else like this, isn't it? And that's important for you and I to build a great nation, isn't it? A man or a woman who really stands tall and high, we're not compromised in any way whatsoever if we're going to build a nation like this, isn't it? Right? Because why? We are here to call to serve the nation. In fact, I was speaking to a whole group of ministers. I said, you know what happens is the word minister comes from the Latin word ministare. And ministare actually means servant. That's what it means. So therefore, the prime minister is the chief servant of the country. Yeah, we are here to serve, all right? We are here to give our very best to this land, to this nation. So I say to the politicians, for example, when I speak to them, all right, I say, you know what, okay, politics is the highest form of public service. Highest form of public service. And therefore, you are here to serve the people in the country. You are not here to serve your own pockets whatsoever, which is so important for you and I to understand. And that's the first and foremost mark for all of us, friends. Men and women integrity, men and women, right, of no nonsense, men and women who remain strong and firm in a kind of character you don't compromise at all. And that's important. We build our nation in a wonderful manner. The second C for all of us is a whole area of competency. All right, being really competent, being really skilled, being really very good, all right, in our work, in our responsibilities. And so here in verse 3, Daniel 6, it says, now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. So distinguished himself, outstanding, excellent, all right, in his work and work culture. And that is what is needed, friends, in our nation, our land. Everybody giving the best. And especially, friends, can I say for us as Christians, there in our place of responsibility, we are serving God. We're not serving our position. We're not serving our peers. We're not serving our boss. We are there to serve the Almighty Living God, and all God's people say. And that's important, isn't it? So whether people see us or not, whether, for example, our superiors see us or not, it's immaterial. It does not matter whatsoever. Why? Because okay, whatever it may be, whoever is around, it makes no difference about the fact that we are really serving God, isn't it? And that's so important for you to understand. I was just reading a short clip by the newly appointed Prime Minister of Singapore. All right, some of you might have probably read that clip, isn't it? And he himself said, okay, that, right, for all of us as ministers, we are at the end of all serving in the worship of God. We are serving in the worship of God. All right, that's what it is. I'm not sure whether it's a Christian or not. But it's a wonderful remark and comment which is so lined up with the word of the living God, isn't it? Why? Because the Apostle Paul writes to us, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Everything must be done to God's honor, God's glory. And therefore, if there are things that cannot honor God, we don't do. So I speak to business people. It means, therefore, some projects you cannot undertake because it does not honor, glorify God. Some business deals you cannot enter into because it does not honor and glorify God, isn't it? Because you compromise your life, your character, compromise in a walk with God. And that's not right at all for all of us. And so, friends, you know, competency, and we pray that we continue to improve in our work. If you're not good, get people to train us, to help us, or go for training further, isn't it? Like many of the police officers, I thank God for Dr. Tang, right? The training college there, send all the guys in, build them out to become best of the best police officers in this country, and we'll be blessed in a process like this, isn't it? And there's a second mark, friends, build a nation well. The best of the best are responsible together to serve to build up the nation. A third C for all of us, collaboration. Working together well, working together in unity and oneness. But this is what we see, sadly, at the highest administration in the Babylonian Empire. Why? Because first half of verse 4, Daniel chapter 6, at this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. You see, at the highest level, the team itself is not united. The team is trying to find fault with Daniel. Why? Because tragically, sometimes at the highest level, people play politics. People fool around, more concerned about his own or her own position of power than what is best, right? For the affairs of the land, for the affairs of the company, for the affairs of the nation, isn't it? All right? What a tragedy it is when personal interests are involved in a process like this, that we never build something strong, something solid whatsoever. And you find this, friends, not uncommonly in companies, in organizations, in communities, all right, and in a nation like this that we see here at the highest level. Friends, that will only result in the thing falling apart. That will only result, for example, if it's a nation never achieving what it ought to achieve really at the end of it all, isn't it? And that's why, friends, you look around the whole world, you can see many self-interests, even the politicians involved, isn't it, in trying to rid whatever and plunder whatever available for them in a period of time they were in power. What a tragedy, isn't it? How sad it is, okay? We're going to send your police in the Gao team. They'll deal with them all nicely. Who are involved in exploiting the position, okay, and whatever else that is there in the land. You know? And so, therefore, collaboration is so important for all of us. Friends, if we lack competency, for example, here in Malaysia, draw people in from outside, you know, and there are many good people, and can I say, friends, many great Malaysians serving God extremely well in the different professions around the world. I know some of them, outstanding in the profession. And so if we really lack this in Malaysia, draw them in. And many of these who are former Malaysians are more than delighted to come back. Why? I told friends, CEO, the former CEO of Telecom Malaysia, had, okay, coffee and tea with him here. I said, you know what, my friend, okay, can I suggest one of the things you can do in trying to recruit, because you're trying to recruit talents and good talents from around the world, one of the things you can recruit is to say to some of these who have been well settled there in their own country they've decided to adopt, but they're outstanding in their work, but these are Malaysians or ex-Malaysians. You know what you can do? Throw them a carrot to say, I'd like to invite you back to be involved in nation building. This is maybe the time for you to contribute towards the good of Malaysia all over again. Is it with the expertise, with the excellence? Come and help us, collaborate with us, so that together we build a great nation. Friends, can I say, many of these will be more than willing to come. Much more than willing to come to know that they're involved in rebuilding the nation of Malaysia, for example, all over again. All right? Give them a red carpet welcome, but tell them, Osula, pay your own airfare. Hello? Friends, you know, they've got no problems paying for themselves, because they are already so wealthy, so established, you know what I mean? And they feel good to know that they're coming back to offer their skills, capabilities, abilities, collaborate to build a great nation all over again. Amen. That's what is needed in a wonderful manner. A fourth C that is needed is corruption. Friends, this is what kills a nation and every nation on earth. That's what you and I must tackle. Because at the heart of any nation's problem is there a corruption. This is what you see here, likewise, second half of verse 4 of Daniel 6. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy, neither corrupt nor negligent. Not a trace of hanky-panky in his life. And that's so important, isn't it? That this nation of ours is riddled with corruption at so many levels. What a tragedy. And that's why we couldn't achieve what we ought to be achieving a long time ago. We've got all the resources in our nation. You know what I mean? We are so much better off compared, for example, to our neighbor, Singapore. We should be way, way on top, and our ringgit should be so much stronger, even as Sing dollars. But tragically, friends, you know, corruption kills us. For that matter, friends, can I say, across the whole world, including Western world, don't believe that there's no corruption in the West. It is just more fine the way they handle it. There's great finesse in the way they try to handle, okay, corruption. They call it consultation fee and all kinds of stuff that takes place like that. Friends, you know, that's the reason why Mr. Lee Kuan Yew, he got it right absolutely. Right from the start when he became Prime Minister of Singapore, when he was, okay, sadly told to leave Malaysia, he knew there's no resources. We're a poor nation. He wept and cried over television, as we all know. All right, let's build. Let's trust. Let's give our very best. But he knew at the heart of it all, corruption must be tackled. Corruption must be killed there and then. And that's the reason why, friends, Singapore rises up to be so strong. Because here's a man who knows. And this man, can I say, should be sent to most nations around to gout him, to deal with all the nonsense in land after land, country after country around the world. What a tragedy, isn't it? And so there's a reason why, friends, at the heart of it all, if any nation, any leader, any civil servant, anyone in a company, organization, at every level, if we don't deal and handle corruption, we're in big trouble. I was speaking to a group of business leaders in Beijing, in China, all right, Christians. At the end of that, one of them asked me a question, a CEO of a construction company from Hong Kong, but based in Beijing, because their company got work, construction work in Beijing. They said, Pastor, how to do no corruption? Impossible. I'm constantly being asked in different projects, all right, okay, on the side, to grease the hands of these government officials. How do they? Impossible. What do you say? It's not possible. I say to him, this, my friend, you know what? You make an appointment to see the head of the department and the director of the department. Make an appointment to see the guy. Don't see the guy down there. Go right down to the top. Sit down with that guy, make an appointment, sit down with the guy and sit to the guy. Ask him a number of questions. For example, do you love this country? Do you love this country? Simple. Yes or no? If you don't love this country, get out now. Why are you serving in civil service? You don't love this country. So firstly, do you love this country? Of course I do. Great. You like me, I also love this nation. Second question, what do you think of corruption? Right? Then ask him further, is it good or bad? Right now, just simple question, what do you think of corruption? Is it good or bad? And if that government officer is a sensible and a sane person, that fellow will say it is bad. And so if it is bad, it is damaging for the country, then you should not take, and I will not give. Hello, is it okay? Deal? Let's shake hands. Just like that cow team, isn't it? And you tell your officers all the way down, no nonsense, guys, no nonsense. And how sad it is, for example, in a CEO of his involvement in mentoring, all right, in a large public listed construction company, he said, because of a project involving in KL, we have to work to the night to really hurry up because we're late in delivery of the big, huge construction project. And then what happens? Day one, woman drive slap upon us summons. Okay, we're working to the night. And we've got three summons. Each one is 50,000. So pastor had to pay 150,000 fine, right, for doing that. I eventually went in, negotiated with Dewan Mandarai, and they agreed to half it. It becomes 75,000, and I was willing to pay. And then a week later, I sent one of my staff, a senior staff, to Dewan Mandarai to pay. And when he presented the thing, the fine which reduced 50%, wanted to pay, the guy there at the counter said, hey, my friend, you know what? I can reduce the fine. But you know what? You pay me a little bit on the side. You know what I mean? We can settle one, no problem. He was so happy. He rushed back to the boss. He said, boss, you know, we don't have to pay so much. We pay a lot less, but you know, just a little bit on the side. You know what the boss said? Worships in UMC. Scolded him. You rascal. You know, that's not my philosophy. That's not my practice. You know, in our company, we don't practice corruption. Get out and go and pay the full fine. Friends, what a joy, what a blessing to see people like this. Willing, right, willing to lay down everything to walk in a way that is right. Willing to tackle corruption and kill it at the soul. You know why? Because if there's corruption, for example, in construction project, you will pay these officers. See, the developer, the builder, all right, has to build the cost of paying this corruption money into his project. Right now. And because they build it into the cost, what happens? the price of the project, for example, houses or shops you buy, would have gone up. So therefore, who loses? It's the ordinary people who have to pay high price unnecessarily for the bright money that he has built into the project. What a tragedy. Everybody suffers along the way. Isn't it like that? And friends, that's the reason why you and I, friends, if we're going to build Malaysia to be great again, it means, firstly, friends, character, all right? No compromise whatsoever. Secondly, friends, competency, best of the best, all right? If not, go for training. Thirdly, collaboration. Let's work together well, all right, in every department, every division, so that we really deliver the best of the best. And then finally, kill corruption at the core, because it is that which destroys any land, any nation, any company whatsoever. Therefore, if that is so, what is needed on the part of all of us Malaysians, every Malaysian, Christian or not, it doesn't matter. What is required on the part of all of us, friends? The first C, four C's again. The first C is convictions. Convictions about right and wrong, good and bad. We must be very clear about all this, because the moment we are not clear, we're in big trouble. And if the leaders at the top, they are not clear about convictions of right and wrong, the whole nation's in trouble, friends, or a company will be in trouble, or even sometimes, if you're not clear about our own convictions in the context of the church, we could be in trouble as well. So, friends, you know, we've got to be clear, black is black, white is white, and that's so important for all of us. If you're going to see, friends, us all contributing to the good of the country and the best of the country that is available for all of us, and that's so, so important, isn't it, for you to understand, all right, that we don't exchange, okay, and do a trade-off and a barter as well. A friend of mine, for example, he was staying with a fellow friend in Holland, in the Netherlands. So next morning, the friend said, I'm going out to get a jug of milk. So he brought an empty jug along, right, to go and fill up the jug for a jug of milk. He said, where are you going? Oh, the farm just down, just across the field, yeah? The farmhouse. I'm going to, oh, really? Can I join you? He said, of course. So this friend of mine, okay, wonderful, great Indian scholar and theologian, Dr. Vishal Mangalwadi, went along with his Dutch friend, okay, finally to the farmhouse, okay, and there was a wonderful milk dispenser full of milk, okay, and so he filled up the jug of milk, then after dropped the money in the coin box, but there's nobody there. Farmer wasn't there, farmhand was, nobody's there, all right, he could fill it, put, okay, the right amount of money, and he walked off. The Indian guy scratched his head. You know what? In India, what happens is not only will milk will disappear, the money will all disappear as well. And this friend of mine, Vishal, shares this in Egypt, right, which I'm going to next month. And he said, you know, when he shared in Egypt, the Egyptian laughed. He said, you know what? Not only the milk will disappear, the coin box will disappear, even the cows will all disappear. When that happens, we're in trouble. But friends, you know what happens sometimes, you know? You may employ a person to take care, to manage, okay, the collection of the thing, okay, about milk, all right? And the guy is there. The guy can be bribed sometimes. And he put more water, a bit more water, so that he can get a bit more income. And because of this, you find the farmer became suspicious. How come the milk nowadays of not top quality that I'm very proud about? And so you know what happens? Besides having a farm hand to help or to collect money and attend to all the milk dispensing, he has engaged now a supervisor to watch over, okay, this farm hand. My goodness, if that is so, how much money is involved? Is it in paying for all this unnecessarily in order that people could just have an ordinary pint or a jug of milk like this? Unnecessary cost built in like this. Said, what a tragedy when the convictions that are not right, proper. I know politicians. One, I spoke in whole group of politicians, and one of them came up to me and said, Pastor Daniel, not a Christian, by the way. He said, you know what? I was offered a jump ship. I was offered a switch, my political affiliation across. And I was offered $60 million. To just jump ship. How many of us don't mind even 6 million? Can I see your hands? Oh, very nice, wonderful people. Okay. Our friends, you know, it's just shocking, ridiculous. That's what is here, isn't it? Thank God for wonderful politicians. I commended. I said, did you? No, I didn't do it. I commended him. Although not a Christian. I said, well done, my friend. So proud of you, isn't it? We need people like that at every level of society. Can we amen for that? The second C that is in this commitment. Commitment to this land, Malaysia, and commitment long term. Isn't it? And it's so important. I'm so glad for YB Hannah. She's committed to this land, to this nation, all right? To want to do the level best to build this nation in a wonderful manner. I know when she first went to politics, I said, okay, Hannah, okay, what is the commitment like, okay, to politics? She said, Pastor, no, 5 years, lah, 5 years. I almost want to scold her. No, I didn't. Okay, I said, hey, cannot lah. 5 years, mana cukup. Why? Because you see, friends, can I say, if you want to build a strong, a good, a solid, progressive, united, and harmonious society, it requires lifetime, long-term commitment. Hello, are you there, isn't it? 5 years, 10 years, can never build that kind of society. And I tell the whole group of politicians that came one Sunday here, 30 of them, hosted them for lunch after that. And that's what I said to them. All right, I trust your commitment is full-time, long-term. All right, you must have a vision of building a kind of society that you want to see happening one day. Whether you can achieve or not in your lifetime, we don't know. But at least committed to that vision of building a progressive, strong, united society like this is saying. And for that to take place, it requires long-term commitment together to do it. And that's very important for all of us, friends. And that's what it is. We committed this nation, this land. I'm sure some of you, if not many of you, including myself, has got offers to leave this country and lead fanciful work and ministries for the kingdom. Pay me US dollars some more. No, thank you very much. I'm committed to this land, committed to this nation. You know, some people say to you, you are a fool. All right? How much is a ringgit worth nowadays? Friends, can I say, the point is not how much a ringgit is worth. The point is, friends, can I say, live for a cause. Don't live for comfort. Live for mission and don't live for materialism. Hello? Are you there, Sonny? Then thirdly, friends, there's a cause. There's a price involved. All right? For all of us Malaysians willing to pay the price, isn't it? Because right, after your long service, for example, I speak to these politicians, after your long service in a political career, you may end up a very ordinary, even a poor person. Because how much do you earn as a politician? Let's be honest about it. How come after 5 years, 10 years, you end up with a multimillionaire? How could that be? It's impossible. Are you willing to pay the price? The cost involved? If not, my friend, I say to them honestly, I think you should consider leaving politics, isn't it? And I trust, friends, all of us, and not just our dear, wonderful police force, every one of us, we are called by God, committed to this land, willing to pay the price to serve for the good and the best of Malaysia and all God's people say. So important for all of us. The fourth and final C is that of courage. Courage to do what is right, unafraid, right to do so as well. And that's very important. Allow me to quote a following example. A following example I want to quote is President Jokowi. Friends, can I say, God can raise up one man and through that one man turn the whole nation around. Now, you and I know, friends, you and I know, Indonesia compared to Malaysia all these years, it's always perceived as a little bit behind Malaysia. Amen, isn't it? We all know that. Because, again, riddled by massive corruption all over the decades like this. What a tragedy, isn't it? The nation has so much resources, okay, in terms of minerals, materials, and as well as people. But tragically, friends, it has not been run. It has not been led well. But suddenly, out of the blue, God raised up Jokowi. And this man not only got character, no nonsense. He fights corruption. But more than that, friends, you know, he's got courage to tackle all those corrupt people. And you know what? He has put even some of his ministers in prison. I thank God for a person like this. And he has the wisdom to see who can deliver and cannot deliver. As you all know, the IGP, the police chief for Indonesia, is a Christian. All right, you and I have probably seen that video when he was installed as IGP of Indonesia and he made a vow on the Bible. Why? Because President Jokowi knows this guy, no nonsense guy, a man of integrity, a man who can deliver. More than that, friends, can I say, when Ahok, who was formerly the governor of Jakarta, came up from prison. Actually, I went to visit him in prison because we've been friends for a few years. And I went into the prison to pray for him, actually. And when he was released from prison, sadly under trumped charges and all kinds of things, you know what happened? Soon after that, President Jokowi appointed him a chairman of Pertamina. And Pertamina is equivalent to Petronas of Malaysia. You know, why? Because President Jokowi can trust his man to deliver, no-nonsense man. All right, clean and clear and straight, friends, and that's what is needed. Courage to tackle, and friends, that's important for you and I to understand. Because if you don't have the courage to tackle, all right, and stand firm against the tide that will sweep against us, that might even, friends, can I say, sometimes affect our position, that might even affect our power, because of, right? Because why? We are courageous to take a stand. We might even suffer in the process, friends, but better to suffer than to go with the flow and do all kinds of practices that are wrong. Amen. And that's required on the part of every Malaysian in this country. I'm not sure I share with you this example. The former CEO of Bursa Malaysia, Malaysian Stock Exchange, Dr. Yusli Yusof. All right, great, amazing man, okay, who retired 6 years ago from Bursa Malaysia as CEO, and then after he's sitting on some fancy boats, all right, here in Malaysia, okay, one of which is actually KPG Hospitals of Malaysia, he's chairman of at one point of time. And last year, I was told he's done with cancer of both eyes. And I was asked, Pastor, can you pray for him? I said, yeah, sure, I pray for all kinds of people. Yeah, I'm more than happy to pray. I don't know him at all. And so this former head boy of VI, Victoria Institution, this fancy school, all right? And Dr. Yusli was also a head boy of VI, but several years junior, okay? And so when they connected, all right, this brother who actually worships in GMC texted Pastor, can you pray? I said, sure, I'll pray for him. And so therefore, Dr. Yusli, I've never met him. He knows that there's a pastor praying for me every day. And I sent a message back. I said, you know, Dr. Yusli, whenever it's possible, I want to go in the hospital and pray for you as well. But the day never came. And then what happens was, he was eventually discharged from hospital. And so I went to visit him in his house in Damansara Heights in November last year. I looked at him as if, I said, it's unbelievable because your diagnosis was really very bad. And now you look so well and strong and healthy, as it were. So we sat down, we chatted and talked and that kind of thing. And I found him to be an outstanding Malay gentleman. Outstanding. A no-nonsense guy. A man who's straight. A man of real wonderful integrity and yet also humility in spite of a very high position and highly recognized in the corporate world. I said to him, Dato, you might want to slow down because that's his plan. Now they recover, I better slow down, play some golf, take things easy. Like I'll still serve on various wonderful boards, but I'll take things easy. I said, Dato, you may do that. But you know what? There's one other thing you must do. Take on some younger Malays, mentor them, pour into them. Firstly, values about right and wrong, convictions about what you can do, what you cannot do at all. Pour into these people. Secondly, put into them all your wisdom, experience, knowledge, okay, and understanding and your gifts. Pour into their life. Help them, lift them up to another level. Thirdly, I say, you know, to say to all these Malays, we need every race to work together. All races must work together. Amen. And fourth and finally, let's together think of the long-term future of the country. So I told him, you do this, Dr. Yusli. I will do this at my end, which many of you know I've been doing this for many years now with business leaders, all kinds of people. I believe if we all rise up and do this, eventually our streams will merge. Together then, there's a future and hope for Malaysia. All God's people say. He said, that's what is needed for all of us. And you know what he said to me? He said, Pastor, in spite of all the nonsense we all Malays do to you all, you still hang around here. He's very frank and very honest. Makes no bones about what he says. Very frank, he speaks perfect English with the whole family, actually. I say, you know what, Dr. Yusli, not only we hang around here, I chase every Malaysian to come home to Malaysia. Hello? And every Malaysian I meet around the world, can tell you honestly, police force, I ask them three questions. Firstly, YB Hannah, are you a Malaysian? Yes, sir. Second question, are you a Christian? Yes, sir. Third question, are you a good Malaysian Christian? Yes, sir. Get home. Not so good ones and stay back here. No. Yeah. Why? Because we need all the good people, isn't it? All the good people, all the committed, all who are willing to pay the price, all who are courageous, all people with character, the best of the best to come back to build our nation in a wonderful manner. Amen, isn't it? And that's important for all of us. Finally then, all right, what can we as Christians be involved in doing? Specifically now for us as Christians, what can you and I play our part as Christians in our nation in building or rebuilding Malaysia to be one that is wonderful again, right? One that is great again. What can we do, friends? Three B's, as much as four C's, now three B's. What are the three B's we get? Firstly, friends, just be prayerful. Just be prayerful. Why? The Bible tells us this. Clear instructions. Why? Because the people of God, we who are Christians, we believe in prayer and the power of prayer. And all God's people say, amazing power available, isn't it? And that's why the instructions like this, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. I urge them, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. The power of prayer. And friends, Many of us Christians pray regularly for Malaysia, if not every day for Malaysia, and all God's people say. And you know, friends, can I say, God really loves Malaysia like crazy. Amazing. Just think about it right now. When many nations are going through economic crisis, as we all know, Sri Lanka is bankrupt. And if Malaysia is not careful, Malaysia will go that way. You know, we cannot assume that everything will be okay in Malaysia. No country can assume that. For example, even America, it is the most bankrupt country in the whole world because its debt is $17 trillion. Unbelievable. And yet we can afford America to collapse, because if it collapses, the whole world goes to economic meltdown. We have to sustain, we have to support America, which is a tragedy in the way they live their lives and their lifestyle. But anyway, coming back to this, just right now, Malaysia, as we know, is going through economic challenges, massive debts, all right? And what is happening, there are great dangers and signs that if Malaysia is not careful, it can go a wrong way, a wrong direction altogether. But why is God merciful, friends? There are two major commodities right now in Malaysia whereby the price has skyrocketed like crazy. You know that? Petroleum. $110 US per barrel, round about there. Crude palm oil. Unbelievable the price it has gone. Something like 5,000-6,000. All right. Ringgit. Shocking. It has never happened in the history of Malaysia for crude palm oil to go to that kind of price. I believe, friends, you know what? These two things might just pull Malaysia through this economic challenge. You know that? And so God is really merciful, but we cannot take for granted. Amen. Let's pray and keep on praying and recognize the power, the blessing, the privilege of praying and upholding our nation. Amen. All right? Like some of us have been praying for Sri Lanka, practically every day have been praying for Sri Lanka, Ukraine and Russia and Myanmar and India, okay, including that of Malaysia. Let's keep on our hoping all this. Is that okay? The second B is that be different. All right? And so therefore, John 17, verses 15 and 16, where it says here in the words of Jesus, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of it. In other words, for us as Christians, we're in the world, but not of the world. We're in it, all right? But we don't belong to it in a sense that we don't participate in the worldly activities that we know will compromise our faith, compromise our Christian standards. We don't do that at all. We must stand up and be different. Another passage of scripture is Romans chapter 12, right? And verse 2 in the New Living Translation, it puts it very well in modern English like this. It says here, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect His will really is. Everything starts with a mind. This mind must change. This thinking must change. And this mind and thinking is changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that when the mind is changed, when the thinking is changed, we will not participate in the customs, the cultures, as well as that of behavior of the world that we know is wrong. We do differently altogether, and that's important. And this is where the power of the Holy Spirit comes in to remind us, friends, we must be different. Cannot say, friends, can I underline this? Everybody does it. So what is wrong? Everybody does it, don't make it right. Listen, that's very important. Like I speak to CEOs and business owners, sometimes in your business, you have to provide housing for your workers. I want to know the kind and the quality of housing you provide your workers. Because some of the housing you provide for workers, especially foreign workers, they are shameful, right? They're disgraceful. So sometimes, you know what sometimes say? But Pastor, everybody does it. Everybody does it. Doesn't mean you do it also. Amen. Because why? You're a Christian employer. You're a Christian CEO. We must set a mark and a benchmark that is different altogether. Amen. Isn't it? So whatever we are, who at every level in our organization, whether in the police force, whether in the civil service, whether in our company, whether even in the church as well, at every level, friends, let's make sure, let's set a different mark, a different standard altogether. Isn't it? So that others, we pray by God's grace, will begin to follow us. So we become an influence. We become, friends, agents of change and transformation for land, for our nation. That's very important. Final B is that of be intentional. All right? And so Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16, where it says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. snatch every opportunity, maximize all these opportunities available, friends. And there are tons of opportunities. I know many of us are stretched in so many directions. Sometimes people ask, Pastor, how to manage? There's so many demands in life. There's the work demands, there is the family demands, there is also the church demands, there is also friends' demands, there's also children's demands. So many demands. How do I manage? How do I cope? But friends, can I say, the thing is this, be strategic in the way we use our time, our interaction with people, all right? Secondly, always be a servant to people around us as much as possible. And then finally, there is a spirit, power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to fulfill and do all that is needful, not by our own strength. And that's why, friends, you and I as Christians, we are blessed by God, isn't it? You all, dear friends, police force, you are blessed by God because as Christians, there is a power the Holy Spirit we can tap into to help us to do our work, our responsibilities, our job, whatever it may be like this. Not only when the Holy Spirit gives us power, He is also the spirit of wisdom and counsel. He will give us the insights and understand to maximize our time opportunities. On top of that, He will bear the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? When we serve, right, of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self. He will build all these things and show this in our lives so that we become persons who are totally different. But we need to be intentional about it. And so, just speaking to the CEOs yesterday involved in mentoring, I said, you know what? Very simple. All right, sometimes you go to a toilet, there's a CEO, and there's a cleaner there. You say, good morning. The cleaner looked up, my goodness, big boss said good morning to me. And you might say, thank you for cleaning, helping to clean the toilet, clean for the comfort of all of us using the toilets. How are you? She got even stunned, more stunned. Are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay, boss. Thank you very much. Is your family okay? And she might just say, boss, actually, my daughter is not okay. Oh, really? I'm sorry. What happened? She is sick. Why didn't you take her to see the doctor? She may just say to you, boss, I don't have the money. On the spot, you may just whip up 50 ringgit, 100 ringgit, which for you is nothing. Because sometimes if we sit down for a lunch, it can cost us that much, isn't it? You just keep... Friends, if you do that act and you tell her, make sure tonight or tomorrow, take your daughter, go and see a doctor right away. In that small act and gesture like this, friends, can I say, your cleaner remembers you for life. You have made a difference. You've impacted her. She will never ever forget. More than that, she will tell everybody. That boss, you know, he's amazing. He's a wonderful man. Friends, be very intentional in every opportunity God opens up anywhere, everywhere, whether on a bus, in a taxi, on an airplane, in an airport, whether in a cafe, anywhere, everywhere, friends, let's maximize it, all right? And do it to the honor and glory of God. Let me close with this example. Usually when I come into office here, I usually walk to the concourse to go to the office, and lunchtime, if I'm alone, I walk throughout the whole concourse and the whole hangar to look at people having lunch. So people ask, Pastor, why every time we see you walking around only? I say, you know why I walk around? I walk around to pray for every table, every person, because many of us who come to have lunch here, you're welcome to have lunch here as well. Okay? But go to Pela. Hello? Okay. All right. And many of these, I looked at them, I know they're not Christians. So it gives me opportunity, fantastic, to pray for them. So I pray for them. Not that I pray, you know, I look at sometimes some of these tables, especially one person, if I go there alone, you know, so I grab the food, I saw this guy alone, so I went out, I said, excuse me, can I join you? Like all good friends in Malaysians, yes. And why? Because you're lonely, I'm lonely, let's make friends. In a process, I shared Jesus with him. Found he's not a Christian, 33 years old, with double degrees, working in the back, he has been coming. All right? I said, invite you to come. Where do you live? SS2, nearby. Okay, you married? No, I'm single. Okay, I'd like to invite your parents to come. Oh, my parents Chinese speaking. No problem. We got a Chinese church as well. Let's say witness to this. A bus driver led him to faith in Christ. Say, we invite you to come. All right, and bring your wife along. Oh, cannot. My wife don't speak English. What is your wife? My wife's Indian. No problem. We got a Tamil church. Hello? All bases are covered. Isn't it? Friends, seize all this opportunity. So I was there just last Friday, Good Friday. These two gentlemen talking away. One worshiped in GMC. That guy, okay, listen, sat down, talked with both, and found that this guy is not a Christian. Share with him, all right, and share about what Jesus is, and who he is, what he is like this. I said, my friend, you know what? Any reason why you should not accept Jesus? He thought about it. Wow, this Jesus is amazing, but no reason. So then I said, accept Jesus. He thought about it. Yeah, today is Good Friday. Good men must accept Jesus on Good Friday. It's my joy, privilege to lead him to faith in Christ. Pray for him and say, come and join us together. Amen. Seize, maximize every opportunity so that, friends, you make a difference in the lives of people to the honor and glory of God. Amen. Let's pray. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want to extend an invitation to us all. If there's anyone here in this auditorium, you have not taken a step of faith to trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and say, you're not sure yourself whether you're a Christian, I want to extend this invitation for you to respond, really. So that afterwards, at a count of three, you can raise up your hand. I want to pray for you. And those of you watching online, likewise, if you're not a Christian, my friend, at a count of three also, you can raise up a hand in the living room, wherever you are, and you can follow after me this prayer. So if you'd like to, my friend, at a count of three, would you raise up a hand? Downstairs, upstairs. One, two, and three. Can I see your hand? Is there anyone? Is there anyone here? There's no hand that I could see. But I trust every one of us, right, is a believer, follower of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray, Spirit of God, you just speak and work in each one of us. Break through and touch us all, God, I pray. And work in our hearts in a wonderful manner that we all know Jesus is Lord of our lives. Work in us, even those of us watching online. Can I ask you to stand? I want to pray a prayer over all of us. Is it okay? Can I ask all of us to stand? I want to pray that in this message, all of us will be reminded that we can all play our part, big or small. We can, every one of us, play a part in contributing towards the good of this nation, in building this nation so that Malaysia increases or stand tall and strong and high in Asia and the nations of the world. Is it okay? Could you raise your hands up? I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you for these, my precious brothers and sisters. Fill everyone with the power of the Holy Spirit, oh God, I pray, Father. Thank you for their lives, their walk, their witness for you. Thank you for this wonderful police force today and their families joining us. We pray, Spirit of God, you just fill them with power, Spirit, enable them to fulfill, oh God, your call upon their lives to respond to public service, serving this nation, providing law and order, security for our nation. Bless them, Father, I pray, oh God, they'll fulfill the task as public servants, oh God, to your honor, for your glory. As much as you bless all of us, Father, I pray, although we have lost a number of notches as it were in Malaysia, but Father, when you rebuild our land, our nation again, so that Malaysia rise up and be tall in Asia, in the nations of the world, Father, I pray. So, Lord God, help us all to be men and women of character who will not compromise. People, our Father, competent and do the very best possible. People who collaborate and bring out the best of one another. Lord, people, Father, Lord Jesus Christ, oh God, in a real sense, we're committed, oh God, to all that is good and right in this land and willing to pay the price and whatever that is needful. They want to continue to pray up, hold our nation before you. Have mercy. You've been good towards Malaysia. Oh God, continue to do a mighty work in our land to bring change and transformation, Father, we pray. And that we'll seize every opportunity to good, to be a blessing, oh God, and to make a mark and difference wherever we put us in church together. Oh God, I pray that we build a tsunami of influence and impact in our land and our nation and glorify your name, Father, us in Jesus' wonderful name. May God's wonderful people say, amen, amen, amen. Would you give a clap offering to Jesus?